these things. And the reason I want to bring this is because there's going to be a big push this way, and they're already pushing this way, and you know these things. I just want to remind those in the Messianic community, you know, just to that we're at least on the ball with these things as they pull. And I thought, oh, I hope it's okay. And then Steve actually started the whole thing message for me anyway, so that was good. He didn't know. So hopefully this is the Spirit of the Lord directing us here. Anyways, so let's just have a little prayer. We're going to be in Genesis 12, 1. And I've entitled this one, The Controversy is with God. The controversy is with God. So Lord, we do thank you for this time together around your word. We just love your word, Lord, and we don't come of anything of our own, but because of the shed blood of your son, Yeshua, Lord. No righteousness of our own do we come before you, Lord. Thank you so much for not sparing your son. Thank you for his crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection, O Lord. Thank you that he is our high priest interceding for us daily, and he's our coming king. Thank you for giving us of your Holy Spirit when we put our faith and trust in your Son, Lord. So please, Lord, with this bits of bread and little bits of fish, Lord, that I have, please miraculously multiply it in the lives of the people here. You know, everybody here before the foundation of the world, please help them, Lord. And for healing, we pray, for the captives to be set free, for salvation of souls. We pray for Steve there, for his eyes. So all that need the touch of healing, we do pray. Oh, Lord. And for Bernard's family again, Lord, I'm so sorry to hear about that. And please help his family there as well. Pauline and all the family, we pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. So I've got you all up on one screen, so I might be looking up a little bit like that. And I've got my notes down here. So anyways, just to start out, might be a little bit hard in the beginning here. Just a few things. I've narrowed it down a little bit. But we see the nations are pushing to divide Israel. And these, you know, what is behind it? We hear, you know, from the River Jordan to the sea, Philistina will be free. Jude and Rhine, again, slaughter Israel. We hear all these things going on. All the Jewish people, or if you're not of our particular brand, replace Israel, replacement theology. I like to launch out from scripture. So this is just a little bit here. And then, but we see here that God keeps covenant. And basically the devil's trying to thwart Messiah's return to reign on David's throne. That's what's going on here. And I think a lot of these main media outlets, their main purpose is to make God look bad and the devil look good, and that's what they're there for. Okay, and of course, no coming to reign, no resurrection, no world redemption, but God has the last say. God has the last say. Israel is miraculously brought back to their promised land after almost two millennium, and that should be proof enough that the Lord, he is God, and that the Bible is true. So if we get into just Genesis chapter 12 here, we'll go 13 and I think 15. And we just go through this. You know these things. I've done a little series on this for us and just driving it home. So because there's going to be a big push already. They're all talking about dividing up the land. And they couldn't even, they have a hard enough time with just Gaza. Some years ago, the labor leader, Ehud Barak, was giving Yasser Arafat 95% of Judea and Samaria, and he shot himself in the foot and said, no, they wouldn't even be here probably today if they did that. So anyways, so he said, Genesis 12, 1, are we ready to go? Yeah, some scripture here, that's what we want. Genesis 12, 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. See, we see it's a land. It's not pie in the sky. You know, it's not all going to go up on cloud nine and that's it. You know, it's a land here that we've got. And verse 2, and I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And of course, that's in Messiah Yeshua. And say, what a greater blessing and having our sins forgiven, what a greater blessing than we're saved from the just, eternal, fiery wrath of God to come. And instead we're given eternal life with God. What a blessing. What a blessing. All coming from Abraham, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's how he did it. And verse 4, we see that Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran, which is near the Euphrates. Part of the Euphrates there. And then verse 5, Abraham took Sarah, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, all their substance, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, or Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So it's an interesting thing that at the very same time you can go and come. Just imagine, you know, it just depends how you're looking at it, you know. I'm going to the store, but I'm actually coming to the store. You see what I mean? I went to the store, but I also came to the store at the very same time. So they're leaving there, and they're coming into the land of Canaan. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, unto thy seed. And of course, ultimately, that seed is Messiah. That seed is God's son. And this is the creator God who is saying this, that all belongs to. Nothing belongs to us. Nothing belongs to us. And the country we're in, it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. He puts in there and takes out who he wants. It's his, you know, and he's made promises to Israel here. And he says, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So he brought that worship of the true God there. You know what was going on in that land? He's worshiping here. He builds an altar here to him. Here you have a little enclave place here where God is being worshiped. Years and years ago, the world, they knew, you know, God was God. And then all the knowledge is taken away, and all this paganism and everything comes in. But now this is back here. He's in the land. He's being worshiped in the land. Verse 8, and removed thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. So we see Bethel, Bet, Bite is house, El is God. You know this. This is the house of God. But where is this at? It's in the mountains of Israel. It's in the mountains of Israel. And this is where Gog and Magog are defeated. They're defeated there. So when we see this build up to the Gog Magog, we see all the players in place here. It's the big fight here is not really, it's the Gaza thing. It's Judea and Samaria. It's the mountains of Israel that he brings Gog down, doesn't he, too. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Okay, so this is in the so-called West Bank, west of the Jordan River, but it's Judea and Samaria. It's God's heartland. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when they were individually promised that land, that's where they were promised it. In all that area, what they call the West Bank, that's where they were promised it. The mountains of Israel. This is the heartland of Israel, which people are going to try and take away. So the contention really is with God. And we see, and chapter 13, verse 12. Try and put things in order here. You make it easy. I like Genesis and I like Revelation because they're, you know, I can find those books. You know, there's Genesis, there's Revelation. Genesis 13 and 12. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Exceedingly, like we have going on today, in the days of Lot, this is Luke 17, 28, but in the days of Lot shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Gross immorality. In the days of Noah, what did he destroy with the flood? And of course, most of the flood is still here. You know what I mean? I mean, most of the mountains in the world and the valleys are still overflowed with water, you know, even miles of it. You know what I mean? There's only 29% of the earth of the world is land. All the rest of it is still flood water, and so we see in Noah's day it was violence, or the word in Hebrew when you look at violence in Genesis is hamas, hamas, and of course being celebrated. Violence was celebrated then, and is it celebrated now? Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. And verse 15, all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. For tomorrow? For when, until the Babylonians take you away? Until when the Romans take you away? No, forever. It's forever and ever. And the controversy is with God. The controversy is with God. And we see the devil's handiwork today, trying to stop Messiah's return. His return is the devil's ultimate defeat, his eventual eternal abode in the lake of fire. Joining the Antichrist and the false prophet will already be there for 1,000 years. Verse 16, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, as the dust. Can't count the dust, can you? So if that a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And so we see this great multitude. So there's got to be more than just, he's the father of many nations, Abram. Then later on, you see he's called Abraham. Many nations. Why many nations? And I'll just read this Galatians 3:29. If you be Messiahs, then if you be Messiahs, if you be Christ, if you be Messiahs, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, born again from above, that spiritual seed, that spiritual seed. It's always been God's intent. It's from all nations, but this is how he does it, through a man, through a family, through a nation, nations. Always that. And that we'd be one in Messiah. And 17, I know you know this. I'm just reminding you this Arab Shabbat. It's nice to be reminded, isn't it? And 17 says, arise, walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. I'm going to give it to you. I know they didn't say these and them days, but they didn't speak English either. So it doesn't, so I'm speaking a bit more, upmarket, upmarket, Anyways, it's really nice that English. I have to look a lot of it up. I speak English of sorts, when we were cutting down trees in a forest, you guys here had Shakespeare, Anyways, verse 18, I've been here for 39 years and I still can't speak English. Anyways, verse 18. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. I used to live for a few years just down from Hebron, and it's where David reigned for 7 years. This is the mountains of Israel here. And what about Hebron? Hebron, full of Jewish people? No, no, it's not. It's apartheid. No Jews allowed. How about Bethlehem, where David was born and our Savior was born? Jewish people? No, Jude and Ryan, no Jews allowed. Okay, and then and no Christians either, basically, no, not very many. Anyways, 85% at one time, at least nominal. So this is in the so-called West Bank, Judea and Samaria. It was made barren by centuries of foreign occupation, usurping the land. Israel miraculously brought home by God. To them, God promised not only the west of Jordan, but the west of the Euphrates. And so, who's illegally occupying? Okay, and then in chapter 15, we see this promise repeated. This is really gets into it. And when you see some, we know these things, but every time you, when we have our Bible studies, we get everybody out, everybody gets a chance. What is the Lord telling you here? What is he saying? You have to be careful with these, you know, what people might come up. But what is the Lord saying to you here? And every time you go through scriptures, you know, you read the Bible and you think, well, I've read it. And you read it again, you see something else. And you read it again, you see something else, you know, by his spirit. Genesis 15. And one, after these things, that's Lot's rescue. Abram had to rescue Lot and the meeting with Melchizedek. He had all that, Genesis 14. But after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Okay? And I like to tell people when I'm halfway through, I'm halfway. Okay, and then you can concentrate, you know, how long is this going to, I notice like, I go and sit in places and I, you know, within about 15 minutes, I feel a dozy, you know, it's just the way it is, you know, you don't want to be that way, but that's how it is. Someone can tell you sort of where they're at, you know. Verse two, you know, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. So Eliezer, Eli, my God, Ezer, Ezra, helper, this is God, the helping my God, the helper, who's that? It's a type of the Holy Spirit, type of the Holy Spirit. God is my helper. And what does Eliezer do? Eliezer is going to bring Father Abraham a bride for his son Isaac. So basically a type of the Holy Spirit goes and gets the bride for God's son. So we have Eliezer, he's a type of the Holy Spirit. He's going to go and get a bride for Isaac, which is God's son. And then you don't hear about Eliezer. You don't hear. Because the Holy Spirit always glorifies the Father and the Son. If people come and they're glorifying themselves, it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always glorifies the Father and the Son. And it's not coming in and it's always that way. That's the way it's orientated. When you see things going on in worship, it's glorifying the Father and the Son. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He gets us to glorify the Father and the Son. And not ourselves. Okay, and so we see so we see that's going on, and of course the Holy Spirit, he brings us a bride for God's Son, our Savior Yeshua, and the bride is us. The Holy Spirit is gathering that bride, going out grabbing that bride for God's Son. We are his bride, aren't we? And verse 3, and Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born of my house is mine heir. And verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord, this is the word of the Lord, came unto him saying, and as Steve was saying, one God and three distinct persons, one being and three distinct persons, this is the Lord. God, we're talking here. He's saying this, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels should be thine heir. And of course, it's Isaac, and we should go on, and Abram, he laughs, and Sarah laughs, and of course, his name is called laughter, Yitzchak, or Isaac. And verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars. So if you had the dust, you can't, now you've got the stars. If thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And who can count the stars? You know? And then they had all the big telescopes, and now they've got they had the Hubble, and now they got the Webb, and they just keep seeing more of these things that they can't count. They can't count it. Even with their machines, they can't count it, you know. Verse 6, so key here. Verse 6 is so key. It's always this way. It's always this way. And he believed in the Lord, Behemim Badonai, and he counted it to him for righteousness. The Yakshiveha lo tzedaka. Ha'amin. Amen. We get the word amen. He believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. He counted it to him for righteousness because God is gracious. God doesn't have to count anything to anybody. He's God. But he counted it to Abraham because he is gracious. Abraham believed. Abraham believed. And it's all along. Sometimes you hear about this is the age of grace. It's always been by grace. Always been by grace. God's graciousness. Abraham believed. Abraham believed in God. And you see Noah. Noah found grace. He didn't need to have to find grace. God was gracious. Hey, Noah found, he was also a sinner. We're all born in sin. He was a righteous man. God, he found grace. And what did he do? He faithfully built that ark while being marked and being mocked. And as he's being mocked and they're still building that ark, they are showing their faith in God. And as we, you know this, I'm just reminding us here. It's not, you know, I'm always nervous when I speak at the Tree of Life because you all tower over me. You know, and I know that. There's a lot of smart people there, you know. But I was asked to come to speak. That's the reason why I'm here. You know, I used to work at the Tractor Pile. I was a security, in-house security. They used to have you talk to these real big men. You know, they just turn your head right around. You know why you're going down there? Don't you care to speak to that guy? Somebody hit somebody over the head with a shovel the other day. We don't want that happening here. You know why? Yeah, because I'm going to give this guy respect. That's why, you know. And the only reason I'm going down there is because, you know, the authority comes from you. You're sending me down there. That's right. We don't, no problem. And after a while, you talk, you just let the guy blow for a while. And then the fuse goes out. He looks at you and he thinks, it's not your fault. You're just doing what you're told. Yeah, I'm just telling what I'm told. And then the guy goes, and you're glad you're going home. You know, that's what's going on here. I was just put in place here. Not that I'm, okay. So we see all along the graciousness here. We go in verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land and to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby, this is Abraham asking, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? How am I going to know that? You know, what's the proof here? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old. You know, I've heard this before. And a ram, male, it's a male lamb, a 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And it was, I was living down for about a couple of years down from Hebron on this kibbutz. And I was working with all the cows and the calves and all the things I did that for years over there. I had a gazelle one time. These Bedouins gave us a little baby gazelle, and I was raising it. It used to follow me around the kibbutz. But we had a ram. We had a little ram they gave me, you know, and I would take care of this ram, and this ram used to follow me all around the kibbutz as well, you know. It was funny. And his name was Angelo. We called him Angelo from Angel. Anyways, that's a beside. Anyways, verse 10, and he took unto him all these, divided them in the midst, laid each piece once against another, but the birds divided not. He not. So you have this blood, all this blood as well. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. So Abram had to do his part. You know, God does he does all the hard stuff, doesn't he? But we still need to do things, don't we? We need to play our part. We don't want to be spoon-fed. Verse 12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. So he's asleep. He's deeply asleep. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell on him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, which was Egypt, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. Horrible. Horrible. We've seen the horrible thing that just happened recently. Horrible. It's devilish horrors that we've seen today. And also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge. And afterward, they shall come out with great sustenance. And it's not just the children's story here. This really happened. If they didn't come out of Egypt, we would have no salvation. Something has to happen on the ground as today. What we see going on here is all leading up to something. It's all leading up to something. And a lot of people, a lot of believers, don't see any of it. Just had my Israeli, well, Barbara's nephew, our nephew came over today, and he went somewhere, and the person speaking, you know, speaks about these things, but everybody else doesn't seem to understand. It's all going over their head. They're not talking. You know, we're it. You know, we replace Israel. And not nice people. They just never have been their eyes open to these things, you know. Verse 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, hither, okay, to Judea and Samaria, to Judea and Samaria. That's what he's talking about. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So there's a time where you have the cup of wrath is going to come if there's no repentance, if there's no turning back. And that's what we have here in this country. It's headed in the wrong direction. America, all these places, all headed in the wrong direction. And so this judgment is coming. Worldwide judgment. Verse 17, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Okay, the Lord is making a covenant with him, covenant, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. Unto thy seed have I given this land. From where? From where is he giving it? What land is this? From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The river Euphrates. And I speak to a lot of Jewish people. They don't want you to say that. You know, they don't want you to, no, we got enough problems already. No, I'm a Euphrates man, I tell them. They say, oh, listen, I said, well, I'm really a Euphrates man. Why? Because that's what it says in the Word of God. You know, it's the controversy is with God. And so what's going on here is Abram, which becomes Abraham, but Abram is asking the Lord, how shall I know that, you know, I'm going to inherit this land? How shall I know this? And God makes a covenant with him. God makes a unilateral, unconditional covenant. It's unilateral. Abram was asleep. He was in a deep sleep. It doesn't matter what Israel does. It doesn't matter, you know, if you get into the law of Moses and all that, you do this, you get cast out of the land. You do that, you get cast out of the land. But he always brings them back. Why? Because of this covenant. It's an, well, you know this, I'm just reminding us, as they try to tell us no, the whole world says no, and the whole world goes against us. We know, we're in the background thinking, you don't know what you're doing. You are heading into the perfect storm. You are challenging the God of the whole universe who made everything, you know? And you think, well, I don't believe in him. Well, you still got to live in his universe. You know what I mean? You still got to live on his planet here. Doesn't matter whether you believe or not. You know, enough to believe in gravity. You're still going to fall off that building if you lean over too far, you know? So he made this covenant with them. And he's making this covenant when he's in Israel's heartland of Judea and Samaria. He makes a unilateral, unconditional covenant. And he did that with Abram. He did it with, and he's promised that again with Isaac. And he promises it again with Jacob through their covenanted that the world is pushing to part. I've only got about three more minutes just to let you know. And Joel 3:1. We might be able to turn there to Joel 3:1 because people like to turn to places. They like to do their pages and they like to press their buttons and they like to swipe. They like to be doing things. You know, I like to do that. Let's get to that passage. And I usually have a lot of passages and I put verses out and I send it around to everybody. Don't read them all, but. So with Joel chapter 3:1, you all know this. Just a reminder. You know, you have the Lord's Supper as a reminder. Just a reminder here. Joel 3:1, we know this, for behold those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Judah, Joe. You see what I mean? That's where you get to, you know, praise God, you know, Jerusalem and Judah and Jerusalem, which he's done. I will also gather all nations. I'll gather the nations. And that's what this awful media, that's the mechanism. This awful media that knows how to put a spin on everything, you know, make the devil look good, make God look bad, you know. But that's the mechanism by which this is happening there He's going to bring all nations and we'll bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. We have the word Shofet. It's a judge. God judging. And we'll plead. I think I've done this here before. We'll plead with them there. Please, please listen to me. Please. No, that's not what that, it's the word judge. It's the same word that you got in Jehoshaphat. This is the Shofet. I'm going to judge with them there. For who is he going to do it? For my people. And for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Big, big deal. And this is what they're all doing. I heard a Jewish man in parliament. Wonderful what he said. Wonderful what he was trying to say in parliament. And then he says, but I'm for the two-state solution. What are you talking about? You've already got Jordan. You've already got Jordan. What are you talking about? They can't even handle Gaza, let alone all Judea and Samaria. When you got tanks in there and airplanes and all, but what are you talking about here? You're going to now reward this? You're going to reward it? What are you talking about? You see, the Jewish people want peace. They just want, you know. Anyways, the contention, just a minute or two, the contention, as always, is with the Lord God and his Messiah. And his Messiah, rebel? Eternal fiery damnation. Rebel, eternal fiery damnation. Repent and believe, eternal life in Messiah. Eternal life in Messiah. And then I'm just parts of Ephesians chapter 2 finishing here. We are graciously saved of God. You know this, through faith in his dear Son. This is God's provision. This is God's provision to the only way to the Father. Not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God that for all eternity justly keeps giving. For all eternity, this gift just keeps giving. It justly keeps giving. God's righteousness imputed unto us. God's righteousness put unto us. Through faith in Yeshua, through faith in Jesus. And finishing here, we are beloved of God. We are beloved of God. We are his beloved in and only in Yeshua, in and only in Jesus, God's beloved Son. Praise the Lord. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening to this. I know that I'd like to talk about, you know, we are seated in heavenly places with Messiah Yeshua. We are, aren't we? But this is just something that they're really pushing. And I just felt right now we just really need to be doing this. And then, of course, Steve coming out and giving it all away, he doesn't know, you know. I thought, oh, yeah, okay, let's go with this, you know. But anyways, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And so let's just end in prayer here. Thank you, Lord, for this time together around your word. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, oh, God, for these promises that you made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And Lord, as we see you doing all these things, we know your faithfulness. We know, Lord, that we are all of us in you, no longer aliens to the commonwealth, of Israel, but fellow citizens, all of us here in Messiah, grafted in to that olive tree, one in Messiah, one in Messiah. Nobody Jewish or from the nations, people from the nations, no one's in. We must be born again, not unless we're born again of God's Holy Spirit. Children of Abraham, spiritually, Lord, spiritual, that spiritual seed there. Our circumcised hearts, we know, Lord. All along, we know, God, that this was your intent, that from every nation, tribe, nation, and tongue, Lord, that we would be coming to worship you in Jerusalem, and that would be one in Messiah. We are all one in you, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord. And we thank you so much, Lord, that it's this variety from all nations, Lord. From all nations. That's from one nation, but from all nations. We thank you so much, O Lord. And we praise you and bless you. And we pray, Lord, that you would sanctify your holy name and magnify your holy name in all the world and all the universe, Lord. As you said in your word that they shall know, the heathen shall know that I am God, that I am the Lord, your people, Lord, that they'll turn and they'll be saved in a day, that all Israel will be saved. And we do pray for that, Lord. We do pray for your Jewish people, Lord. We pray for the Arabs peoples, Lord. We pray for their salvation. And we know that one day Egypt and Assyria and Israel in the midst of the land, worshiping one God, speaking a common language. Lord, we look for those days, Lord. We pray for our brothers and sisters in all these lands. We do pray, O God. And you be glorified, O Lord, in Yeshua's name. Come soon. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.